This is Deanna Spingola. It is Sunday, April 21st, 2013, and this is one of my special interviews. We have no commercials, no censorship, no calls, no music. It is just education and information. It is bare bones broadcasting. My guest today is John Kaminsky. His websites are resist.com/Kaminsky.
Hold it. The only website I have now is
johnkaminsky.info.
Nope, it's
therebel.org/Kaminsky
is the only one operating right now.
Oh, okay. So the blog, the other one, and that's https://therebel.org/Kaminsky.
Right.
So because you there was another one that was org/blog Kaminsky. Okay.
Yeah, he changed the setup, and all the others are in a seemingly permanent state of suspended animation.
Okay. you just make so many changes in your life. We'll just have to get a daily update from you. Okay.
I moved as well. I moved to a really nice place.
Yes.
And I'm very happy to be here.
That's great. I'm glad, because you did indicate that you had some moisture situation and mildew kind of. Yeah. So you're probably feeling better.
Definitely. I went gluten-free, too, gluten and dairy-free. And I feel much, much better. I maybe have never been this healthy, except the chemtrails are starting to get to me a little bit.
Wow. I went gluten-free in November of 2011.
Uh-huh.
But,
yeah, much better. It's like my body's working a lot better now.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That is wonderful. It takes a little getting used to giving up bread and that kind of thing. But
I miss my milk is what I miss.
Well, you can get, I drink kefir and it's lactose free.
Yeah.
Which is usually the problem with milk. And so it's gluten-free and lactose-free.
Yeah. So. Well, everything's working well, so I think I'm going to keep it the way it is for a while.
Oh, yeah. That's what I would do.
The only trouble is you can't go out to eat anymore, because every place you go, you're conscious of the deficiencies of the food that they're serving, if not the physical effects that you get after eating it.
Right. Yeah, that's a difficult thing, is going out.
I mostly cook at home.
Yeah. All righty, but as long as you feel better, that's what's important.
Yeah, it is.
You wrote an article yesterday.
I did.
And there's so much going on. Oh, my goodness, with this Boston thing.
You know, one of the things I wanted to bring up was it's like after 10 years of battling 911, there's a lot of people who know all the tricks that the feds play now. And they were ready to jump on this Boston deal right away. There were just some tremendous performances by James Corbett had a wonderful video.
Mm-hmm.
Adams of Natural News is right on top of it. Michael Hoffman had a good piece. Dick Eastman put together that wonderful photo collage.
Oh, wasn't that fabulous?
Yeah, and that's available on therebel.org. And who else did I want to mention? I'm forgetting someone. But a whole bunch of people have jumped right on it from the outset. And there was a story I just looked at this morning about CBS's Twitter account getting hacked, and it was the Dabu 007 video that I put in my story, and it somehow made it onto the CBS Twitter account, so CBS had to close down its Twitter accounts and claim it was compromised. It sure was. It was hacked to hell. it was great, because it had CBS saying, "This was the deal," and it is the deal, but it's something CBS would never say.
Sure. Well, it is amazing. I was with a relatively large group of people yesterday, and they all believe the official story. I mean, they didn't. We didn't talk about that, but the instructor said, "Well, you know, with this Boston thing," and there are so many people that believe the official version. I just can't believe that they would. But there's still a lot of very ignorant people out there.
Oh, the vast majority. I had lunch with my two sisters yesterday, and I dropped that bomb on them. And well, one of them, her mouth opened slightly, and she kind of, I asked her if she knew what chemtrails were, and she said she didn't still. But the other one is just a little bit hipper, and she kind of nodded gamely, but they don't want to believe the things I say because they're so opposite of what they hear on television, and they still believe in television. One of the things I didn't put in that story, which I know you can relate to very well, is that the popular US media hasn't told the truth about anything throughout the 20th century.
Exactly. I was talking with one person and sent him a bunch of things, and he was looking at all this stuff and he said, wow, he was so impressed, and said that really was a setup, that was all staged. And then 24 hours later, after watching TV, then he's calling me crazy, saying I'm some kind of a conspiracy theorist and that I don't know what I'm talking about. And I said, well, if they had in 1977, if they had 400 CIA agents monopolizing the media, well, how many do you think they have now? I mean, all of these people, these talking heads that you see on TV, are all just that, talking heads with a script. Oh, makes me so
You know,
frustrated.
one of the things I was thinking about concerning the Boston situation was how these kids got inveigled by the FBI, because the FBI, at least according to reports, have been interviewing them for 3 to 5 years
Right.
and check and try to pin the terrorist label on them. And well, I think of two things. First of all, the Chechen insurgents. The Chechen insurgency was sparked by the United States, so that the rebels in Chechen were actually working for the United States to destabilize Russia and get Chechnya to secede from Russia, which failed. So there wouldn't necessarily be any Chechen immigrants who were on the side of the Muslims to begin with. And from there, my thoughts drifted to how many other kids, foreign or domestic, have been placed in the same compromising situation by the FBI saying, if you participate in this particular training or this particular exercise, we'll give you a little cash. And I'm sure, well, I'm not sure, but I suspect that these kids both had flashy cars, and they didn't necessarily have the wherewithal to buy one themselves. And I wonder what kind of bribes or incentives that the FBI gave these kids, and more importantly, other kids involved in the same kind of program, like that Pakistani kid in New York who was busted for a bomb plot here a couple of years ago. He'd been sucked in by the FBI to like work with them or communicate with them, and all of a sudden he turns up as a terrorist. And I just wonder how many kids there are who are part of this outreach program of the Mossad through the FBI, to get them for all purpose uses in situations like the Boston Marathon bombing. And another aspect of that was that earlier in the day, before they had decided to chase these two kids, they had supposedly were prepared to name another suspect and bring and arrest him and indict him. And at the last minute, they reversed course and didn't do it. Now, I'm a little fuzzy on the details of that. I've only had the outline of the story, but the speculation I read was that something was exposed on the internet that blew this story. So these two kids were their second choice of targets.
Ah.
And
Well, I always have a backup for all this stuff.
exactly. And I just wonder how big a pool of backups they had. But there's no verification of that police chase shootout late at night. I suppose they could plant the evidence and the empty shells and create the bomb holes. But I mean, the whole thing has stunk.
And the pictures with that one store that had all this glass out on the sidewalk, and if it were a bomb in the store, it would have certainly, if the bomb was supposed to be outside the store, and yet all the glass was on the sidewalk.
I've been to a Boston Marathon finish. I had a friend of mine on my shoulders about 20 years ago. Fortunately, she weighed about 98 pounds, and I saw the finish there. It was quite a festive occasion. People were really packed in. Actually, the crowd when the bomb exploded didn't seem as big as the one I remember. It didn't seem as dense, but that's just an irrelevant remark. It seems to me these kids were enticed into a group operation in which everyone wore backpacks.
Right.
And that footage in that story from Dabu, to me, shows pretty clearly. I mean, that's the smoking gun.
The white tag, yeah.
Where the those names are hard to remember, where the younger Tsarnaev brother, was walking away, or he might have been trotting at least. He was hastening away from the after the bomb had gone off, coming around a corner, and he had his backpack on his back. And then, at roughly the same time, the two guys in the uniform with the patch were scurrying away from the event without their backpacks. That to me is the smoking gun.
Right.
So we have an entire city who's locked in their house for 2 days, can't go out, can't open the door, and
And then they're doing warrantless searches in people's homes.
without a second thought. And then at the end, when it was all over, the city comes out in the street and starts cheering the cops for this.
Wonderful job that they've done.
Right, exactly. And so we have a new template for police behavior in the United States if this event is allowed to stand the way they presented it.
Well, I think too. I mean, you have that template on TV with all these cop shows that
True.
they have all these cops showing up and barging into people's homes with SWAT gear, and gets everybody all used to it. And then you have it in reality in Boston. Well, it's a given. And then, as Dick Eastman pointed out, what was going on behind your back? That you were so distracted by the Boston thing that you didn't realize what the government was doing behind your back.
Which thing are you talking about?
Oh, he was talking about something that they did on Friday regarding the health the health legislation, the Obamacare package, that they were going to include records that were personal records that were certainly not necessary or essential, and just some of the other things that are going on in the financial market that the Boston incident took our minds off of.
Yeah, I thought that I had that same thought about all this North Korea stuff
Oh, right. Oh,
earlier
absolutely.
in the week. But the most fascinating fact I heard out of that was that, and this is definitely an internet rumor, supposedly China launched a satellite that gave them a platform in space from which they could drop nuclear missiles anywhere in the world, and supposedly gave it to North Korea. Now, I don't know whether to regard that as real, or whether that's just another urban legend to get us to worry about. It's hard to tell the actual sincerity or candor level of the North Korean leader, whatever his name is, the son of the other leader.
Right.
But he has been talking real big, and there would be some justification for him to do that if there were a platform in space that did have weapons in it. Because I know the United States has them, so why couldn't somebody else have them? Anyway, that's another diversion. I'm
Right.
just going off on a
And of course, most of the things that we've heard about North Korea come right from the mainstream media.
Well, there are rumors out there that North Korea is controlled by the so-called Illuminati
Whatever that might be.
for this very purpose, to create instability in that part of the world.
Of course, there's been instability over there for a long time. I mean, since the Korean War, which was all set up. All of these wars have all been set up, and of course,
Yeah,
it's
they have
and the
throughout the 20th century.
sure, and the same people run the communists and the capitalists.
In talking about how the mainstream media has, throughout the 20th century, never said anything that was actually true, in writing that story last night, I was thinking about how much of that to put in there, and I don't know if I put any in there. I certainly didn't put in very much. But the first event in that 20th century sequence goes all the way back to the assassination of President McKinley. And McKinley's killer was operated by the Jews in the Brooklyn Working Man's Hall, who furnished him the gun and sent him to Buffalo to do the deed. And it's like every year, every event, it's like Schiff armed Japan to become a future enemy, just like 50, 60 years later, we armed Saddam to become a future enemy.
You know what? I had a lady on the program this week, or no, 2 weeks ago, and there's a book out that refutes that. It's the tapes of Saddam Hussein. When when we see this picture of Rumsfeld with Saddam Hussein, I think in
Right.
1983,
Yeah, I remember.
Rumsfeld went over there to make demands, not to sell him weapons. The United States never sold him weapons. Saddam Hussein was never a CIA asset.
Really?
And what Rumsfeld actually went over there to do was to demand that they not support the Palestinians, and that the United States or the certain corporations wanted 80% of all of the proceeds from their oil industry. And the number three is that they wanted Iraq to completely ally itself with the Muslim Brother with the Muslims. They wanted the Muslims to stand down in the Middle East. And so
Who was
all
the
of
person who said this?
this was Buthaina Nevlen. She is Iraqi. She's been on my program twice. She lived in Iraq, well, all of her life. She was born there and was there. She came over here, I believe she told me, I'd have to look it up, but it was after the United States invasion. And I think she's a pretty good witness. And she does mention that this book backs it up, that they actually had it is a transcript of the tapes. Okay, here it is. It's a transcript of the tapes of Saddam Hussein, and there's no mention that he was ever anything but what he said he was. He was never an asset for the CIA. You see, they do these things to discredit
Well, and they
leaders.
and they also send people later with revisionist history as well, because
Yes.
it's my understanding that the United States and she can probably name the names better than I can, but for a long time I've had this in my mind that the 8-year war between Iran and Iraq was set up by armaments from both sides, and the history I've read is that Saddam Hussein was one of the top lieutenants of Kamal, the dictator there, prior to his reign.
Well, I believed all that too. I really did, and in fact, I wrote about it, saying how Saddam Hussein was a CIA asset. But you have to recognize that there are people in the alternative media who are really spooks, and
That's
they are
what I'm saying.
promoting a story that isn't true. But Saddam Hussein did not buy weapons from the United States, not from Rumsfeld. He went over there, and again, the three things: number one, don't support Palestine; number two, 80% of the oil benefits to the U.S. corporation; and number three, get rid of National Arab Brotherhood. And he said, "No way." And so, and if that was in 83, then you have the accusations of what they supposedly did to their own people, which were was not true. Then in 91, you have a war. The U.S. military was used as a tool to go in there. If they're not going to cooperate, if Saddam Hussein is not going to cooperate, we're just going to go in there, and we will force him out. And they did not find him in a spider hole, like they said. They went to his home, and So, and it wasn't a double that they killed; it was him. And they did the same thing, of course, in Libya.
Yeah, no double could have delivered that speech he did.
Yeah.
Yeah, and now they're doing it to Syria.
And these are all nationalists. These people are all doing things that are beneficial for the people that live in their country, and we can't have that. And we certainly have to impose those central banks in these countries.
Right. Well, that's interesting to hear about Saddam. I'd need to investigate that further before my mind gets changed on
Yes. Well,
that.
like I say, she was on for two programs. She was on March 19th, which was the anniversary of the invasion, and then she was on April 9th, which was the fall of Baghdad. And I can send you those audio files.
Yeah, do that. I'd like to hear those.
Yeah.
In any case, what we did to Iraq is worse than what Russia did to Eastern Europe. As bad as that was.
Including the rapes.
Yeah. And now a lot of those the troops who survived their vaccinations have come back to America and become cops on steroids with attitude.
Right. And getting back to, well, even Afghanistan. I mean, I've had Dr. Meraki on the program, and his book tells about some terrible things about the houses of prostitution that they've set up and made these Afghani women. Don't even want to go into it. It's pretty terrible, and we're talking about the U.S. military here, the supposed good guys.
Yeah, that's what they teach them. And that comes from the top.
Exactly.
That's no renegade trend. So we have a government that is really working to destroy the country, and it's I mean, we can guess about how long this has been going on. I'm sure earlier in the 20th century.
Since the so-called Civil War.
And I'm thinking that in earlier years or earlier decades, it wasn't particularly on their minds that they were destroying the country. They were just fleecing it. But after it had been completely fleeced, which has happened some time ago now, then it became a matter of destroying it. And this is what the elected officials, the elected federal officials that we have, they actually know that they're doing that. And that's hard for most people to even comprehend because most people don't pay attention to either the internet or history and think that, oh, these guys are just corrupt like they've always been, and they're just trying to get a little extra dough and a few more yachts. But really, there is a plan to actually destroy the country, and it's not a new plan, but it is well underway. To the point where anything you hear on television or anything you hear any politician say is a lie.
Right. The politicians are psychopathic.
Yeah, they are. I like to say that my congressman from this area is made his money out of bankrupting companies with golden parachutes and is the sixth richest man in Congress. And he comes across when he campaigns around here as some sort of populist, but it's all a put-up job. And he's really wired into the network well, and he's won both elections by very close margins. Not that there was a decent opposing candidate, but it looks like there's chicanery in all elections. There's computer manipulation in all elections, and
of course, yeah,
absolutely does not count.
No, it doesn't count, and of course, when they started the computer voting, I mean, that was there's been books written, black box voting, and it's been well documented, and yet people think, oh, we got to go to the polls. Well, you know, it doesn't matter. It's probably a psyop just to make people think that they actually have a voice when it's all been decided before the election.
Yeah.
The candidates have all been bought and paid for before the election, years before the election.
That's right. That's correct. So now we have to see if any of this internet stuff on the Boston massacre, the Boston Marathon massacre, can actually take. Because one of the things I've noticed here in the past couple of years, maybe 2 years, is that there are two realities in this country, the internet reality and the non-internet reality, where people, you know, we keep hearing stories about how everybody's plugged into the internet, but most people are plugged into the internet, Twitter, and their local restaurants and clubs and movies and things like that.
Or to check the market, or to, Facebook, to divulge every personal detail of their lives to the whole world.
So it's like the government can pretty much ignore all of these breakthrough articles and revelations and investigations that, to us who scan for these things on the internet, mean a great deal. But these things are not getting through to the public.
But I think to a certain extent, that some of it with regarding Boston is kind of leaking out. Apparently there was, I can't remember who did it, a program yesterday at noon where Mark Furman came on and really, really lambasted the FBI and said, you know, these guys knew about the FBI knew about these guys for a long time. And in fact, Newsmax.com said that the FBI interviewed Boston terror suspect in 2011. Mm-hmm. And so you do have this stuff leaking into the mainstream, but I think it's to discredit the government. And if you look at, I was talking to a friend Friday, and she was saying, have you ever thought about the fact that one of the protocols of the elders of the learned elders of Zion says that the one thing that they're going to do to bring down the U.S. government is to make it so discredited that people are going to demand a change, and they're actually going to ask for a world government.
Mm-hmm,
and one of the guys I had on Thursday, which was probably a big mistake of a, well, never mind. I've had some interesting guests on, and honestly, some of them, I think, my gosh, after the program's over, I think, why did I have this guy on? Mm. Oh, my goodness. But anyway, he said that he really believed in a world government, and I thought, are you crazy?
Did he have three names?
No. No, it wasn't that guy. I'm still deliberating over that. I think.
I've encountered much the same thing in just reading that that there is a plot to make the government look so stupid that the population will rise up and really divert the revolution into accepting this new provisional government that has been provided by the you-know-whos.
Right.
That will be even worse than the guys we got now.
Right. And that's part of their plan.
Yeah.
And if it's leaking out into the mainstream.
Yeah, it's probably true.
It's probably true. And then you have people like Alex Jones going on the mainstream to, when in fact he just made every, it just made any of the gun owners in this country look crazy, and which was deliberate.
There's a fine line, for me, it's a very clear line of demarcation. And there's only a few of us on our side of the line, really, because most of the newer popular websites do not mention Jews. And as you know, I've been saying for many years now that if we don't address the issue of Jewish control of so many American systems, we're not really going to solve anything. We're just going to get another version of their scams. And in discussing a replacement government for this obviously criminal bunch that we have now, that's what I fear will happen whenever I hear anything close to the mainstream or the compromised internet sites discussing the fact that we have a criminal government that needs to be removed. And I think, Jesus, who are they going to bring in? I mean, we already have no control over the government. Not then. With a move like that, depending on who organizes it, we have even less control.
Well, for instance, the Obama birth certificate nonsense. And you had, there were two people who were promoting that, leading it, and they were both Jewish. You had one on the right, one on the left, so to speak. And,
It's just like the Congress.
right. Getting back to Alex Jones, did you hear Dr. William Mount's latest news on that he divulged on April 17th?
No, I don't think so.
Do you know who Dr. Mount is?
Yes, I do.
Anyway, he said, let me just read you this one little paragraph. He
Okay.
said, "I personally traced Alex Jones' website and Prison Planet to Skunk Works Productions. In fact, through GoDaddy.com, we tracked his websites right down on APFN. Skunk Works Productions is part of Lockheed Martin, a huge Department of Defense manufacturer of weapons." And there's a video on YouTube called Blue Origin Skunk Work Productions. So that means that, according to Mount, Dr. Mount, currently Alex Jones makes $35 million per year and has a tremendous staff. So Alex Jones is paid $100,000 a day to tell us what he is told to tell us. I'm sure he works very hard and many of his stories are great, but he is a DOD contractor bought and paid for with your taxpayer dollars. And that is that unquote. That is from Dr. William Mount.
Yeah, that's a story worth repeating.
indeed.
Well, it's like a lot of people have been on to him for a long time because he would never come out against the Jews, even worse, well, I don't know if it's worse than that, but equally worse was his method of creating these scares over events and then disappearing from the event and leaving everybody hanging. So it was just a daily generation of his own kind of terror, even though he seemed to be on our side. And certainly in the Boston bombing, he has put forth quite a lot of material. I haven't looked at too much of it, but it seemed like it was going along with the general flow of skepticism about the.
Exactly, which is to bring down the government.
And one of the things I'm worried about is that I've been in these last two stories I've written that have been very popular. I've been really light on the Jews because I didn't quite know how to fit them into the picture. But it's like all of these stories have been light on the Jews, and it's certainly they're behind it at some level. But I don't know how to quite to fit them into the picture. It was much easier on 9/11 because they were so involved in so many aspects of the caper. But in this one, they're a little more well concealed, and they've done these false flag operations so many times. They're getting a lot better at it, even as the opposition is getting a lot better at understanding what they're up to. But their visibility in this particular event seems to be very low, and I wonder what that's about, or I wonder where they are actually. I mean, I'm sure that since we know that the cabal of Jews from Wall Street and the corporate higher circles control the federal government without question, by participating in some kind of plot to rid us of the current federal government because they're obviously criminals. I don't quite know how they get out of that except appointing a replacement government that is even more repressive than the one we have. So, and I haven't quite figured out the contours of this whole thing, but there's something funny going on with this, where, like in the Kevin Barrett story about the Atlantic Monthly here recently, him pointing out that this is the first time a mainstream publication has included the possibility that the government may be behind all these things. So that's like a kind of controlled something or other. Where and I think really that's what got everybody thinking about maybe there is going to be some kind of movement to get rid of this government by non-traditional means. But again, the question, since the mainstream media is talking about this, there probably is a plan in the works somewhere to replace Obama and whoever else they choose to replace. But what form that's going to take still remains a mystery.
And of course, when they installed him at the White House, they installed him knowing that I think they manufactured this guy. They built
Oh, they
the
did.
perfect. They can say, "Oh, he's Muslim. No, he's Christian. No, he's this. No, he's
Right.
that. He's not a citizen. He is a citizen. He was born in Kenya. No, he wasn't." So then you have this perfect person to shoot out of the White House to get rid of,
Right.
because then it will satisfy the people in the so-called alternative media who've been saying, oh, he was put in there and he's not qualified. So what better time to get rid of the government than to have a phony president?
Well, they've all been pretty phony.
But I mean phonier.
Yeah, he's
I guess we have to qualify that.
the phoniest, yeah.
Oh goodness.
He has no record of graduating from anywhere.
No, and no, nobody remembers that he was even at Columbia.
Right.
So
I think they got one flunky professor to say something about it, but there's never been a student who recalls seeing him there. And how he got the job at Harvard, I mean, Harvard has gone Jewish a long time ago. But how he got that plum job at Harvard,
well, if they've gone Jewish a long time ago, I mean, Obama's mother is Jewish.
oh, I didn't know that. That's interesting.
At
But
least that's the
how a
story.
dropout from Occidental who didn't go to graduate school at Columbia becomes editor of the Harvard Law Review is almost as bad as Harry Truman, the haberdasher, becoming president. And actually, when you look at all our presidents, they're all specious. They're all, if you look, with the exception of maybe Kennedy, but Eisenhower was Baruch's flunky. Was promoted over 4,000 other officers to be general of the army,
Right.
and Hoover was a was another bag man for the mob.
Oh, absolutely. From the time you went to England after you graduated from Stanford.
Yeah, and so we've had these all these questionable histories for virtually all of the presidential candidates. They did, they maybe they started out in a program like the Tsarnaev brothers. Participated in, did some tremendous favor for the federal government. That was Dick Cheney's history, and kept saying yes to the offers and taking the payoffs, and that's how they get to be president.
Right.
That's how they all get to be president.
Well, that's how Eisenhower did it. He came
Yep.
back from Europe and as this great big wonderful hero. Well,
So if
if you can go back, you can go back to Andrew Jackson. They used his heroism in the War of 1812 to promote him as, and he became president, and he was just as much of a Jewish flunky as the rest of them.
Well, I don't know if I completely agree with that.
Well, he was working for the Rothschilds. The Rothschilds had their bankers over here, and
So
per
his This he was going to rot out the bankers was just another scam?
That was just another scam. He was working with the bankers. He made them the collection, or he made them the bankers for the United States in 1834. I cover it in my first book, and it's been a kind of a sore spot for some people because they've been promoting Jackson as this wonderful person for such a long time that it was rather interesting to find out the facts. In fact, a couple of the bankers, the Rothschild bankers that were working with the administration, actually sent the Rothschilds in England a wonderful portrait of Andrew Jackson, which is in their archives over there in England to this day, because they had been successful in their little operation. And when you look at the crash of 1837, that was orchestrated. And what happened in that earlier crash is that a lot of the farmers and the people lost their land. And other speculators came in and picked up all this land, pennies on the dollar. Jackson was also in charge of the Trail of Tears.
Well, that's what I was thinking of.
Although Jefferson did a lot of the treaties with the Indians, it was Jackson who carried them all out, and it was pretty brutal. And then he gave all that land that he got rid of all the Indians. Then he gave all the land to his big banker buddies up north, and they came down and put in the plantations.
Mm. So that's the country we got.
Yeah.
Still doing all that.
And he was a Freemason to boot.
Yeah.
Well, you're quiet. I don't know what.
Oh, I'm just, it's like we got some contemporary events to deal with, and people are definitely not equipped to deal with them because they suck into what they hear on television and act accordingly. And it's like, I live in a small Florida town where I have not run into a single person who knows anything about any of this. Except an old lady from the Ukraine who seems pretty hip to the deal, simply by expecting that everything the government says is a hoax. Right. And it is. But the day-to-day world that provides most people with their paychecks goes on without recognizing any of this. It's like they're feeding at the trough and they don't want to be disturbed. But the trough is drying up, being deliberately dried up, and people are being deliberately made sick to boot, and nobody really has the resources or the gumption to recognize that this is happening. They keep saying, well, just calm down, it'll blow over, but it's not going to blow over.
Well, it's a mentality of the people, because most people do not have psychopathic personalities. They have no clue. They would not conceive of doing to others what the politicians and the bankers are doing to the population. Yeah. They just cannot believe that there is that kind of evil in the world.
And one of the big frustrations, I think, for people who are at least attempting to stay aware by keeping up with events as best they can, is that there really is no mechanism within our comprehension for neutralizing and removing these guys, because they own the bankers, they own the cops, they own the universities, they own everything. And there's no avenue of redress except for Bruce Campbell type tactics of, rounding up a posse of vigilantes and going after somebody. And that has always struck me as doomed to total failure. I mean, you can buy as many guns as you want, but you can't deal with armed drones, especially a fleet of them.
Right.
So one of the big frustrations is that there's no avenue of redress, which is why the only remedy that I've been able to think of is for just millions, tens of millions of people to just say, you guys got to go, and they would have to go. Because if there were tens of millions of people saying that, no amount of media spin is going to be able to stop that. But how many, I think it's safe to say we don't have tens of millions of people on our side, because when you walk out in the street around here, you don't have anybody on your side, and 90% of the people think you're crazy, even though that's an increase over the last 10 years. And one of the things I would like to make a point of is that social critics who appear on the internet and are troubleshooting and vetting these government lies have learned some things over the last 10 years and instantly recognize things. Like even the first day after the Boston bombing, there were people on the internet comparing what was happening in Boston to what happened immediately after in New York City when the towers came down. So it's like people are smarter, but we're still woefully short on manpower or
Right.
power. And I guess that's primarily because people who are on the internet have been distracted back to the TV level of Facebook and Twitter, and don't seek out the things that you or I or Dick Eastman or any of the other wonderful investigators on the internet seek out.
Right. And it's very unfortunate. I think you can try and talk to people about something that really impacts them. For instance, health. I do a lot of programs on health, and certainly the medical mafias, as they're known, destroy a lot of lives.
Oh boy, they do.
And that's all part of it too. When you go back to the Flexner report. There's just every aspect of a person's life is touched by this criminality, the cabal's criminality. But I mean, you can talk to somebody about their health, but then when you go to another level and try and shift them to another level and say, well, do you realize that the government is actually perpetrating these false flag events? And then they just can't buy into that.
It's even in closer proximity than that, because when you start talking medical issues, you start talking about things like statins and chemotherapy and
Fluoride and aspartame and.
all of it. It's like, and man, I've turned a lot of people off doing that.
Really?
We'll start talking about health, and then I'll start talking about statins, are the one I'm probably most familiar with. Statins will kill you as quick as chemotherapy will. And yet my doctor, the doctor I see at the VA, that's the first thing she says to me every time I visit, like twice a year, are you taking your statins? And I say yes, but I'm not, because I don't want to lose my VA health care.
Sure.
And it's like you have to be careful about how you deal with them, because there's all sorts of hazards there. Now I was reading about how I just had another thought about the state of New York governor. I think it's Governor Cuomo. There's another Cuomo governor now, declaring and seizing all the psychological records in the state. There's no privacy anymore when you go see a psychologist. The government can take the records, or at least in New York State.
Right. Well, I had a doctor on just recently. In fact, she'll be back soon, Dr. Jennifer Daniels. And she indicated on my last program with her that all of these medical records that they have been digitizing and putting into the computer are really so that the American Medical Association can keep track of the doctors to make certain that they're going by the exact protocol that is set up by the insurance company, the hospital, and the pharmaceutical industry. In other words, if you go into the doctor and you have a particular illness, then all they have to do is go on their little iPhone or whatever and write out a prescription. And there's no no indication that they want to spend any more time with you than about 3 minutes,
Right.
and no indication that they want to figure out, well, what is the nature of your illness and how did you get it? Let's evaluate what you're eating and other kinds of information, because
they'll never do that.
They're not into healing you. They're into prescribing medications to enrich the already rich pharmaceutical industry.
I was terribly sick in January, and
I know, my goodness.
And I've spent a lot of time thinking about what it was, and I've decided that the main contributor to whatever distress I had, which was as sick as I've ever been in my life, was because the doctor I had over-medicated me for blood pressure, and the blood was not circulating to my kidneys. And that put me at risk for a lot of things, but I almost lost my kidneys back in January. And the reason is because I was over-medicated for blood pressure, and she was keeping my blood pressure too low.
My goodness.
Yeah.
Well, Dr. Daniels has done a lot of audio files, which are on her website.
Uh-huh.
And she talks about the blood pressure situation,
mm-hmm.
and that it is a hoax.
Yeah.
I'll send you her website.
Yeah, do that. I could use all the help I get on that score. But I'm feeling good now.
Good.
Cleaning up my diet helped.
Yeah.
And
your doctor probably never mentioned your diet.
Never. Not even once. In fact, she never... I filled out a VA questionnaire here recently, and it had... it was a national questionnaire, and they wanted me to rate my doctor, and I I gave her about the same marks I got in high school. And one of the questions was, did she ever ask you any questions about how you really felt about your medical care or something like that? And of course she never had. She has 1,100 patients. And really, really doesn't want to see any of them. And the first question she always asked me when I get there is, are you taking your statins?
Well, that is what they've been instructed to ask you.
Yeah. I swear they get bonuses for all the pills they push.
They do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did this questionnaire also ask you if you had any guns in the house?
No, it didn't.
I guess that's next. They're going to be asked.
That probably will be next.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I've never been asked that at the VA. But I understand they're doing it now. And if they ask me, I'll say no.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Well, I hope that people will reevaluate what has happened in Boston, that it's just another one of those incidences. I hope that people will read your article. And
it's very encouraging how many people are on this case. I can't stress how pleased I am to be a member of a group of people who kind of know what's going on. And there's no way we can control the number of people who read it, but there's really a lot of good stuff happening now. We can only hope it captivates a sufficient number of the public so where we can make some progress toward reversing these terrible trends that have taken hold, where people are losing, people's individuality are being taken away from them. People are being starved. People are losing their jobs. I have a simple litmus for all this. Anybody, any elected official who believes the official story of 9/11 is a criminal and should be removed from office.
Right.
That would go a long way to improving our government administration, but I think it's really too late to pursue any kind of movement like that. I think we're under siege, we're at war, we're being attacked by our own government, and if we adopt the policy that it's every man for himself, we're going to lose. So we need to organize some kind of resistance along very general lines and devoid of religious preferences.
Oh, absolutely. And devoid of white or black or brown,
yeah,
or whatever.
We all have to stand together, because our government is not not here to protect us. It's here to destroy us.
Right. Now, was it Dick Eastman who also indicated that while all of this Boston thing was going on, that there was a bipartisan investigative team that was going to arraign Bush and Obama on criminal on war criminal charges?
I have heard that, but that's I've only it may have been from him. I don't remember, but I only heard it once, and that strikes me as
wishful thinking.
Well, I remember there was this guy named Tim Taylor who was running, who declared himself the provisional president of the United States. There's several people I know who have declared themselves president of one thing or another. And the movement probably raised a little money, but it eventually foundered, and he was eventually arrested for some kind of embezzlement.
Was that Tim Turner or Tim Taylor?
Tim Turner, yeah.
Yeah.
And in fact, he might even be doing time now. Who knows? But these ad hoc movements, and I hope it is an official movement with responsible people. But I tend to, when I hear something like that, my eyes roll in my head.
Right, especially when it comes out of Congress. If it's a bipartisan group in Congress, I don't know about that.
There's only one side in Congress.
Right. Yeah. Oh, goodness. Well, it's been lovely talking with you.
Yeah, same here, Dean. I hope your hand feels better.
Oh, I'm sure it will. It'll just, I'll have to just, I did put some ice packs on it last night, and it is feeling a little bit better this morning, although it is definitely going to be all black, but all black and blue. That's what I get for purchasing the wrong equipment.
Yeah. That's what happens. Well, I hope you get something better. And I think all really, any of us can do is just keep watch. And when you see something wrong, talk about it as loud and as widely as you can. That's all I've been doing for a number of years. And
many people appreciate that. I think some people, when you first started talking about the things you talk about, they thought, oh, we can't be talking about those people. But you just didn't back down. You've just never backed down. That's good. And now it's more acceptable because you started it. Now it's more acceptable for the rest of us to do it.
Yeah, well, that's a good thing. We all got to keep doing it, and more of us.
Right. All righty. Well,
thank you
so much, and we'll talk again soon.
Hey, you going to send me a link?
I sure am.
Thanks a lot.
All righty. Bye-bye.
See ya.